after losing home court advantage and their starting point guard due to injury in San Antonio through the first two games of their series with the Houston Rockets. The San Antonio Spurs have regained home court advantage and also taken a 2-1 series lead against the Rockets as San Antonio prevailed against Houston in Houston Friday evening 103-92. I am Paul Garcia of ProjectSpurs.com. Please make sure to follow us as we break down this game and visit the site and our Twitter handle as well for more information. So the series shifts to Houston, and San Antonio, you know, loses their point guard. Coach Pop starts DeJounte Murray at the point. You know, Murray had some early jitters as far as his nerves, as far as like some early very pressurized defense by Patrick Beverley put on him. Had a few early turnovers, and but he didn't play a lot of max minutes. And in the time, and outside of that, I mean, he was kind of okay with his defensive rotations, and outside of those little turnovers, put on by Beverly, he was kind of okay in those spot minutes until Coach Pop could bring Patty Mills in. So aside from DeJounte Murray, let's go ahead and break down the Spurs' key playmakers. There was three of them for the night. It was Kawhi Leonard, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Patty Mills. Let's break down Kawhi's game first. Okay, so on the on-screen stats, Kawhi finishes with 26 points on 20 shots. He didn't shoot over. He wasn't robotic in shooting over 50%. Like his usual playoff average, but he did kind of get it together after missing a few shots early in the ball game. So he finishes shooting 45% from the field. He makes 6 of 8 free throws. He collects 10 rebounds. He dishes 7 assists to his teammates for 17 points. He goes 2 of 3 from three, and he plays 41 minutes. Okay, so let's go ahead and break down Kawhi's game in detail. Okay, so something a little bit different compared to game two. In game two, it was mainly minutes shared by Trevor Ariza and Eric Gordon, sharing the defensive duties on Kawhi. This time, though, in Game 3, Mike D'Antoni wanted to make sure Ariza was basically Kawhi's primary defender, only in the event a switch happened. So this time, Gordon didn't get a lot of looks on Kawhi. It was mainly all Ariza. He did a better job as far as making Kawhi take some contested twos. At the beginning of the game, Kawhi missed some early looks. He shot 1 of 7 to start the game. But as the game finished on, he ended up shooting 8 of 13 to close out the game, which is 62% shooting. So very robotic for Kawhi right there. He attacked whenever he got a switch with somebody like Ryan Anderson. He was aggressive on the glass as well. So even if he wouldn't miss some of those floaters, he had a few of those floaters go out compared to in San Antonio when they went in. He would still be aggressive as far as getting those offensive rebounds and putbacks for himself. He didn't get a lot of looks in the paint until maybe late in the game, because something you saw was the Rockets' defenders, their help defense continue to kind of stay in the paint to take away any kind of driving lanes for San Antonio. And with Tony Parker out, Kawhi's basically San Antonio's main ball handler who can kind of penetrate the lane, but that's difficult for him to do when they have a defender sitting back there. When the Spurs went small later in the game in third and fourth quarters, it allowed Kawhi to get into the paint on pick and rolls and get a little bit more switches and get more efficient shots for himself. So when they go small, they can't do it the whole game. You know, they got to play two bigs because they have right now their bigs are playing very well, as I'll talk about in a little bit. But when they do go small for stretches with Kawhi at the four, down Simmons at the four, San Antonio can create a little bit more opportunities on the offensive end to get more space. So Kawhi's finishes with 17 points on his 7 assist that he threw. He found LA for a few possessions. He found Danny Green on pick and rolls, or when he got doubled, he kind of observed the floor, kicked it out to teammates to make sure that they had an opportunity to score. So he ends up putting up 43 total points in the game when you combine his points scored 26 with his 17 assists, which is about 42% of the Spurs' scoring in that game. Through 9 playoff games now, Kawhi is averaging 29.8 points per game, which is third among active players in the playoffs. He's shooting 55% from the floor, 51% from three, and 95% from the free throw line. He's collecting 7.1 rebounds and dishing 4.9 assists. So again, Kawhi's volume of shots is going to go up now that Parker's out, and you should see a little bit more of an uptick in his assists as well, as he's basically San Antonio's main and almost only shot creator consistently now that Parker's out. One trend you're continuing to see is Coach Pop resting Kawhi later at the end of the first quarter and then later at the end of the third quarter. So this is stopping some of those scoring drops from the Spurs, where Kawhi is now there to start the second quarter. He's also there right there to start the fourth quarter and try to help close out a game. And you're seeing a lot more small lineups again, like I mentioned, with Kawhi playing a small ball four in certain lineups as well. Shifting over to LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, the only way that San Antonio was going to survive without Parker and actually try to make continue their success in the playoffs is they needed somebody else to you know, take up the reins as far as being becoming an offensive force. And LaMarcus has done just that. You know, game two, he didn't make all his shots, but he at least stayed aggressive. He didn't have a great shooting percentage, but he stayed aggressive. He took those pick and pop jumpers, those mid-range jumpers, and even if they didn't fall, he still shot them. He continued to take that over-the-shoulder turnaround shot, and he stayed active on the glass. He stayed active off the ball, trying to make some cuts to get some dunks or layups. And so you kind of saw the making of it in game two, even before Parker went down. But now, this on in game three, the shots actually went in. So those pick and pop jumpers, those mid-range jumpers, those over the shoulder shots in the post, they actually went in game three. And Aldridge finishes with 26 points on 20 shots, and he shot 60% from the floor. So now you know he just continued to take the shots that were given to him, and eventually the ball's gonna fall. And sure enough, it did on this night. He also collected 7 rebounds, stayed active on the glass. He blocked 4 shots. Coach Pop mentioned how, you know, he worked his butt off on D, and then also on the glass. So it's not all just about scoring for LaMarcus. He played 38 minutes. As mentioned, he took those given mid-range jumpers from, you know, 19, 17, 15 feet, the non-paint twos that Thunder, that the Rockets don't want. LaMarcus took those shots. On the over-the-shoulder shot, you know, he knows that already in the series since game one, the Rockets are not going to let him have his little move that he likes to do in the regular season, which is go left shoulder into the paint and throw in that right hook. The defender plays on his left shoulder, and then they always have help defense coming from the baseline. So rather, LaMarcus is not even waiting for the help defense to come. He's just, as soon as he gets the ball in the post, he's taking a dribble and then turning over his right shoulder and hitting that fadeaway type of shot that he's really good at, especially on the nights when it's going in. He was also active as a role man in the pick and roll. So now he was playing a little bit more in the pick and roll situation. So he either got the ball rolling and got some layup attempts or continued to move the ball to his teammates. He also saw all 3 defenders on him. He saw Clint Capella guarding for Series. He saw Ryan Anderson. He saw Nene. The 3 of them had trouble guarding him. And then Aldridge did a really good job of taking advantage of any kind of mismatch. Just several times he got mismatched with James Harden or Patrick Beverley, and he immediately got better position in the post so that his teammates could find him. In that second half, he actually, you know, even if it was Capella or somewhere like Ryan Anderson, he was able to dig in deep and get deeper into the paint, flash his hand out, and so that Pau Gasol or one of his teammates could find him for the ball, and he was really crucial for the Spurs there in that third and fourth quarter. He ducked in a lot off the ball, and then he had 2 assists, and the Spurs scored 5 points off his 2 assists. So overall in the game, he ends up contributing 31 points for the Spurs when you take his 26 points scored with the 5 points off assist that he gave San Antonio. So it was one game, but this is showing, you know, Aldridge coming into the series, people, you know, it's the paper matchup showed that Aldridge should be the dominant player here in the post, in the front court against, you know, the Rockets' lighter, you know, more agile Clint Capella and Ryan Anderson and shooting type bigs, plus Nene, who's more of like a stalwart type big, but, you know, he doesn't want to. Aldridge just basically had the favorable matchup in the series, and now he's kind of showing it in game 3, and now the Spurs do need this again in game 4 and going on. And the key thing for Aldridge is to keep his mental composure as far as his confidence up. So even if the shots aren't falling, his mid-range jumper, his over-the-shoulder shot, he needs to keep shooting it because that attracts double teams. That attracts some possessions where his other teammates, especially Kawhi Leonard, can get free. There was a possession in the third quarter where Aldridge had the ball up top, and you know, Houston is so focused on him. Kawhi actually got a quick spot up 3 off just one screen action. So him becoming a force puts that pressure on the Rockets defense, and that's going to get his teammates more involved and get them even better shots. With Parker down, the Spurs is a new point guard who's going to be taking a lot more responsibility as Patty Mills. I had tweeted before the game, you know, the Spurs would really need like the national team Australian version of Patty Mills. When you watch him in the FIBA competitions, the Oceania, when you watch him with the Olympic squad for Australia, Patty's a lot more aggressive. He plays a lot more small ball too, but just because they need a scoring on Australia, so they just need him to put shots up, whether they're going in or out. They need that from him to be that very consistent shooter. And you saw that with Patty. He took 14 shots, which was the second most behind Kawhi and Aldridge. They didn't all go in. He only made 4 of them. But you can tell just Patty's type of aggressiveness that he has and his confidence. He never lacks that shooting confidence. If he's going to miss, he can throw up several air balls, and he's still going to shoot a shot no matter what in the fourth quarter if it's there for him. So Patty finishes with 15 points on 14 shots. He collects 5 rebounds, dishes 2 assists in 30 minutes. Something you saw was that anytime that he ran the pick and roll with his teammates, and if the paint was wide open, let's say Capella was up high by the free throw line or up by the three-point line, which is obviously created because of Powell's spacing. Patty quickly took that in for a layup because the Rockets are always thinking Patty's only going to shoot, so they want to take away the three-point line for him. Well, guess what? He actually went into the paint for two quick layups there in that game. He stayed confident. There was two possessions early in the first half where he shot two air balls. He just completely missed the rim. He missed some shots off screen action that were open when the Rockets kind of went under screens. But that does not bother Patty Mills at all. You know, you saw his first three-point make came in transition. When he's bringing the ball up, he shoots one of those pull-up jumpers in transition. And that was his actual first three-point make. He had a key one to basically put the game away there late in the fourth quarter as well. And then His two assists came with 5 points for his teammates. He actually in the second half got several spot up looks. He didn't make them all, but that's good, showing that San Antonio is breaking down the Rockets' defense to get Mills those kind of looks. And eventually, you know, Patty's a really good shooter, so regression to the mean, those percentages should go up for him going forward. Focusing on the Spurs' offense, wasn't the best shooting nights, but you know, they're on the road. It's a tough environment, but they did enough to win the ball game. San Antonio shot 45% from the field. They made 9 of 25 three-pointers, shot 36% from three. A guy who gets some credit there was Danny Green. He had 6 points, very key points in the fourth quarter when the Rockets were trying to make that comeback to try to try to mark on the Spurs' lead in the fourth. He took advantage of James Harden's defense. So a lot of times, as I mentioned in the last vidcast, Harden doesn't quite focus 100% on defense, where he'll kind of just keep watching the ball so Danny can kind of get some cuts behind him and get open from the three-point line or in the pick and roll to create for his teammates. He also there was actually a few possessions where Danny surprised people by running the pick and roll. He actually did that twice, where he did it very effectively, and he got Pau Gasol a layup. I think it was David Lee a layup. So he ends up contributing 7 points on his three assists that he collected for 18 total points that he gave the Spurs when he combined his points with assists. And then, of course, you know, his defense, as far as like taking away Ryan Anderson and then the help defense, he had a transition block on James Harden. He had a help block as well, and Clint Capela in the half court. So Green was a monster for them as well. For San Antonio, they're going to need that continuing in Houston on the road. The Spurs made 16 of 20 free throws. They shot 80% from the line. Though Kawhi only got there 8 times, guy like Pau Gasol got there got to the line 4 times, made 3 of his 4 foul shots, and the Patty Mills made 5 shots. It shows a little bit of the Rockets' composure. They kind of lost it there in the second half. James Harden got a technical foul call on him, same as well as Patrick Beverley, even though the Rockets were in their home building. Offensively, the Spurs' ball movement continued to be successful. You know, the Spurs really, it took them so much energy and games just to get over 20 assists on Memphis in that first round series, because the Grizzlies were a top 10 defense, even without Tony Allen. They still have really good positional defenders, a really good team defensive scheme. The Rockets' defense is kind of showing its colors as far as like where they were. They were ranked 18th to start the year, and now it's kind of showing that in these last two games, where the Spurs, you know, now that the Spurs have brought the pace down, they're really taking their time on running like their motion sets or you know, just running some of their zipper cuts to get the players open. The Rockets don't have that what you would call, I guess, the consistency to stay locked in on defense for a full possession, especially when the ball gets moved several times. That's when the Spurs are kind of breaking down the Rockets' defense. So San Antonio tallies 23 assists on 39 made shots. So the Spurs assisted on 59% of their made shots, which is over half their shots. That's really good ball moving for San Antonio. With Parker out, this is something you're kind of going to expect now. This is something the Spurs really have to monitor, is their turnovers. They ended up turning the ball over 21 times. As I mentioned, Murray had 2 early turnovers, and several other players, a guy like Kawhi had 3, Pau Gasol had 4, and then other players had like 3 or 2 turnovers. So there was turnovers up and down the stat sheet, and the Rockets actually got 25 points off those turnovers. So that'll be something that the Spurs have to – it's something that's almost expected, because San Antonio's losing their primary floor general in Parker, who really takes care of the ball. He runs the offense very well. He keeps everybody composed, and now that element's gone. So guys get a little bit more frenetic. Passes aren't always there that aren't always easy to make now. So San Antonio will have to continue to monitor their turnovers, but they survived the night despite the 21 turnovers. The Spurs' bench outscored – the Rockets' bench 26-10. That was a key part there. A guy like Pau Gasol comes off the bench, helps San Antonio with his 12 points. Then he also dishes 4 assists, mainly found Aldridge in the low post there in the second half. So Pau ends up giving the Spurs 20 points off when you take account his points with his assists that he made. And he also used team. He also used James Harden in the post a few times to try to find his teammates for better looks as well. John Simmons, he didn't. His shooting percentage wasn't great, but he had a really important made basket. So he had a very when the momentum was kind of changing, Houston was making their comeback late in the third quarter. Simmons brought the ball up and hit a pull up three with time drawing near right at the shot clock. He makes that shot, so that kind of gives the Spurs that. Kind of stops the Rockets' momentum heading into the fourth quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, when Kawhi wasn't getting a lot out of the pick and roll, he needed someone to help him out. So he kicked to Simmons on the weak side, and Simmons can run a pick and roll as well. So he got a jumper, and then he got a dunk as well. So that's something that, you know, they're not telling you for a full 48 minutes where Simmons is spectacular, but there's little things in there showing in game two and three where Simmons can play very well. And he also got to run some small ball four to start the fourth quarter. That's something Pop's been doing since game two. For John Simmons. Looking at the Spurs' 6 minute increment chart, the Spurs have continued now since game two to try to avoid those scoring droughts that they're very famous for in their playoffs, and then also since the regular season, since the All-Star break. They only had one scoring drought, which is those last 6 minutes of the first quarter. They only scored 6 points in 10 minutes, in 6 minutes. And part of that, again, like I said, is Pop pulls quieted the game a little bit earlier now in the first quarter to give him a rest so he can start the second quarter. But overall, San Antonio did very well as far as continuing to keep their scoring going up. They were able to avoid those scoring droughts. Something to show that now though is Houston. Now they're facing a few more scoring droughts. That's obviously a credit to the Spurs' defense, as we're going to talk about. But the Rockets were held to 9 points in the first 6 minutes of the ball game, 8 points in the first 6 minutes of the second quarter, and then also 8 points. At the start of the fourth quarter for the first 6 minutes. So that's the most, that's three scoring droughts the Rockets have now faced, and that's the most in a game through this series. So that's something that's obviously showing, and that was in Houston, that the Spurs' defense, their game plan is working. Houston is getting into some of those scoring droughts that puts them in a position to fall behind in a ball game. Moving over to the Spurs' defense, the Rockets shot 36% from the floor, from their home floor, should I say. They made 12 of 39 threes, 31%. So let's break down the three pointers a little bit. So in the first half, Houston was really hot. They made 8 of 23 threes. Trevor Ariza individually made 5 of 9 by himself just in that first half. And as I mentioned in the vidcast of game two, that's something you have to kind of roll the dice with Ariza. Right now he has LaMarcus Aldridge guarding him, and the Spurs want Aldridge to hard hedge on Harden. So Ariza does get that space to get open. And sometimes they're going to go in, sometimes they're not. The percentages say they're probably not going to go in a good majority of the time. During the regular season, Ariza shot 34% from three, so he was a below-league average three-point shooter. You kind of want to give him that if you're playing the odds. And you saw that in the game. He shot 5 of 9 from the first half, and then in the second half, he went 0 for 3. The Rockets, as a team, only made 4 of 16 threes in the second half. The Spurs did a much better job of running them off the line, taking away James Harden's corner three-point shooters. Harden actually was the only player in the second half for Houston to make a three. He made 4 of 8 from 3. And even though and the rest of their players went 0 for 8 in the second half. So that's something that's very important, is that San Antonio's taking away the one shot. They're limiting the one shot that Houston wants to take, only 39 attempts. Plus they're trying to run them off the ball, and Houston's not making a great percentage of those, and Houston's not equipped to want to shoot the non-paint two, the mid-range shot. Houston did get to the line 18 times. They made 16 of 18 free throws. Basically, Harden gets a good majority of those shots. He got to shoot 11 free throws, and outside of him, not that many other Rockets got to the line. On the glass, the Spurs won the battle again, 49-39. A guy like Pau Gasol was very important. He gave the Spurs 9 boards. He had 3 offensive boards. The Spurs actually themselves collected 12 offensive boards. So the Spurs are continuing to win the battle of the glass. Houston did get 4 offensive rebounds. And again, that low shooting percentage from 3, 31%, gave the Rockets a little bit more opportunities. The guy that the Spurs do want to watch on defense for offensive rebounds is a guy like Clint Capela. He had 5, and then also Patrick Beverley had 3. Those are two guys that the Spurs need to monitor a little bit better as far as the glass to keep the Rockets under 10 offensive rebounds for the game. The Spurs' transition defense continues to stay very efficient. They only allowed the Rockets to score 9 points in transition. Part of this goes again to the pace of the game. The Spurs kept the pace at 100.36 points per 48 minutes. I mean, possessions per 48 minutes. So this was, if this was like an NBA game during the regular season, this would have been like the 8th highest, but it's not. it's not spectacular for Houston. It's not what they want to run. In game one, the Rockets got the possession, the pace up to 105 possessions per 48 minutes. In game two, the Spurs got it down into like the low 90s or 90/92 range. So now the Spurs kind of won this battle again, keeping the pace relatively low. They took their time on offense. They got back on defense, communicated. And so this really disrupts the Rockets' offense because they want to get out and run. This is something the players talked about after the game as well, that they got to continue to increase the pressure because that's what they're built to do, not to sit there and play in a half-court game or like what Mike D'Antoni called a slugfest there late at the end of the ballgame. Looking at the Rockets as playmakers, who they usually run their possessions through, James Harden finishes with 43 points on 28 shots. He did not collect over 10 assists, which is very surprising. He usually does that, and I'm going to break it down why that's purposely part of the Spurs' game plan. So with Harden, the Spurs again use that same matchup of having Kawhi be the primary ball handler on him, and then anytime that he did get a switch, it was mainly with the big. It wasn't very often, and they continue to have, like I said, LaMarcus Aldridge hard head on him. When it was Pau Gasol as the other defender, Pau would usually drop on defense and give Harden that mid-range jumper. You basically give him the space to shoot that mid-range jumper and try to take away the lob attempts to Clint Capella or the slip passes to Clint, to Nene. And Pau continued to do it the best that he could. You know, Harden got a lot of layups over him, and the Spurs have to take something. I mean, they're trying to give him that mid-range, but Harden's just so fast and so crafty that he can beat Powell to the lane. But the one thing San Antonio is continuing not to do is they're not giving Harden those outside corner shooters. They're trying to take those players off. They're kind of like staying next to them in their arm's length. They're kind of like almost like a zone. They're kind of like waiting to make sure that they're always there on the weak side. They force Harden to two turnovers on those plays where he's trying to kick out to the left or the right to these corner shooters, and the Spurs are anticipating that pass and snatching it in the air. One thing that was interesting that he started to do a little bit better in the second half, Harden, was he started to split the hard hedge by Aldridge. So anytime Aldridge would give that hard hedge action, Harden would just slip past it and just attack the rim immediately. He got a dunk on Pau Gasol doing that action. Then he also got a few more layups later on in the game. So that might be something the Spurs' defense has to watch is Kawhi doesn't have time to actually go under the screen and get back on the other side when Aldridge does that hard hedge, because Harden's immediately attacking that side and going straight to the left toward the rim. Like I said, San Antonio continued to stay on his shooters. This is what I would call, I guess, like the Steve Nash type defense, where the Spurs are okay with letting Nash or Harden score, you know, 40 to 50 points. But if it's going to take away his assists and his outside shooters and his playmakers, I mean, his other shooters, that's going to be something that San Antonio is going to favor to do. And you saw what happened. By the time Harden got up to 43 points in the game, San Antonio was up by 9. So the Spurs will take that advantage as far as like, hey, Harden can have 40 to 50 points, but we're going to take away as much of his 3-point shooting and his outside help as possible. In the second half, Harden, even though he collected 5 assists in the game, he only had 2 in the second half. Looking at Eric Gordon, he finishes with 9 points on 10 shots. This is a guy who averaged over double figures throughout the season. He was the Rockets' second leading scorer, and the Spurs did a good job as far as they try to run him off the pick and roll as well. He had to settle for a lot of like floaters that he's not really, in this game at least, he wasn't comfortable hitting. They don't want to be taking non-paint twos, and that's kind of what they gave Gordon. So Gordon didn't have a good night. Patrick Beverley finishes with 8 points, takes 13 shots to get those 8 points, and has 7 rebounds. Again, the Spurs, if the weak side defenders, they were helping off, they were running him off the line, and so he really didn't get a comfortable shot as well. Beverley, his 7 rebounds were impressive, but again, that part of that goes to the offensive rebounds that the Spurs got to watch and take away from him. And then Lou Williams, a guy that the Rockets did bring in as like a fourth option in case that things weren't going well for them. He was supposed to be a guy who can run the pick and roll, get some quick points off the bench. He ends up bringing no points off the bench. He gets 0 points on 4 shots, and the Spurs' D against Manu basically guarded him, and he held him in check pretty well. So the Spurs take away the Rockets' 4 playmakers as far as outside of Harden. Trevor Ariza, you know, he scores those quick 15 points in the first half, and I think he only had a dunk in the second half. So the Spurs took him away. Clint Capella, he only got 2 of those lob dunks. He finishes with 12 points and gathers 16 rebounds. The guy that the Spurs that the Rockets didn't really look to and couldn't get going was Ryan Anderson. He shot 0-4 in the game. He finishes with just 2 points. So now moving on to game 4. It will be Sunday, May 7th in the Toyota Center in Houston. The game will tip off at 8 o'clock p.m. on TNT. Looking at some adjustments now, I think the Spurs are kind of showing that what they're okay doing with their, you know, especially with Parker's first game. I think that Murray's going to have a little bit better game now that he's got some experience playing those 14 minutes in a real playoff game, you know, against a really good defender in Patrick Beverley. So you should see a little bit more confident Murray, where he can maybe spell Patty a little bit more minutes before Pop has to pull him out. But from the Rockets' perspective, I think that something that they're going to see in the film was how Harden was able to attack that hard hedge by Aldridge. So I think that the Spurs' defense needs to anticipate that Harden's going to try to get to the line a little bit more when that action is presented. And then talking to Alkan Bajani of ESPN 975, he was at the game with me in Houston with the Rockets. So I got to talk to him, a really cool guy. But he told me that something that Houston's done in the past is when teams try to play that same type of defense, as far as like taking away the outside shooters from Harden and just playing a 2-on-2 pick and roll and kind of daring Harden to shoot that mid-range jumper, or just playing against one big like the Spurs have been doing. He says that one thing that the Rockets will adjust to is make more weak side actions. So even though Harden's like on the, let's just say Harden's on the left side with the ball and he's running a pick and roll with Capella, they're going to have some more screening action happening on the opposite side to try to occupy the help defender, somebody like Danny Green or Monta Ginobili or Simmons, so that they can help at the rim or on those weak side shooters. So I think that's something that maybe like Alkan mentioned, I think that's something that the Rockets might implement. So for Project Spurs, I am Paul Garcia.